Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is incredible to be with you guys today. Pretty excited for today's episode. The 49ers have today off. There's no practicing, which common logic would say at least no more injuries. Like, if you got to find the bright side, the rest is needed. So, a couple things I want to detail today. Lots of new transactions on the back end of the roster. The 49ers bring in not one but two edge rushers, not one but two tight ends over the course of the past week. Want to detail that. And we're going to continue with our countdown series, numbers 18 through 14, most impactful players on the 2026 49ers roster. And here's the sad news. 3 out of 5 are already injured. You're talking top 18 players. 3 out of 5 ain't practicing. And it's just turned into, I mean, the 49ers had 2 full practices, 8 injuries, had a jog through day, then a practice yesterday. And with the way the injury reports are coming out, you're not getting news on the injuries until a day to 2 days later. So we don't even know the repercussions from yesterday's practice yet, because the Niners, they control when that information comes out. And they try to do it in a strategic way so that people don't talk about it as much. We're not going to allow that to pass. But that's what we got today. So the 49ers team and every single team goes through injuries. And the 49ers don't have it the worst. They definitely have the most injuries so far in camp, but not the most significant. You're talking 2 players with torn ACLs. 2 key contributors with torn ACLs for the Panthers already, and first and second year players. Just freaking terrible. Yeah, 2 favorite players that we had, Nick Skorton, we were really high on last year, and then Chris Brazel, who was, you know, he didn't get the rush crush because of the off the field, but I was way higher on him than everybody else. Their seasons are done. So the 49ers aren't in that category of major injuries, but whenever you're talking about the amount, the quantity of injuries, yeah, they're number one in the NFL. Shocker. Stop me if you've heard that before. That's just what it's going to be. This is episode 1680 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. And I do have to just a real quick shout out to my man, Dave Dickerson. He sent us some sweaters to give away at one of our 49ers Rush tailgate events. They didn't come in time before I left. And so I had them in a box stored. And now, you know, we're moving tomorrow. So there's not going to be a show tomorrow. As soon as this show is done today, I'm packing up the entire studio and setting and getting that ready to be moved. And then the next show that we'll have probably won't do a show tomorrow because internet's not on yet at the new place and all that stuff. But I will be at camp, or at least that's the plan, unless the wife kills me first. I will be at camp on Saturday. So that is the plan, right? So moving Friday, I should be at camp Saturday and do a live report there, which should be a lot of fun. But that's kind of where we're at. But shout out to my man, Dave Dickerson, because he sent us some stuff to give away, which I'm super excited. I didn't get it in time, but man, I felt bad. I opened it. I looked at what was in the box. It was a couple awesome 49ers, just, you know, sweaters that we get a giveaway. I didn't unpack it. Well, I unpacked it and there was a card in there. My man, Dave, just so kind. And so just salute to Dave. I hope you're watching today. I just want to say thank you. We're going to get all that stuff that you sent us in the hands of 49ers fans. And yeah, thank you for the card and the generosity. You are freaking awesome, man. My man, appreciate all the hashtag CCs coming in strong. What's up, Sean First, Captain Niner? Appreciate you guys. Monkey Kimbro. Yeah, we got a strong chat coming today, baby. Yeah, stars out, scrubs in, what's new? I like that, Doc. Appreciate you guys. Yatsik, my man. Dude, hopefully New York is treating you well. What's up, man? We got Matthew, Dan Case in the house. Is it true that Fred was hired by the Substation AI system? Dude, awesome, awesome post. Awesome, awesome post. Love it. Captain, way too many injuries and no pads. Man, I can't wait for pads to come on. More injuries are coming. Like, understand. more injuries are coming. It's going to happen. But hopefully you mitigate it as much as possible. You manage through it. And the good news is, so far, everybody besides Ricky Pearsall, none of the injuries seem to be long-term. I fully expect every single player that's been injured to be back before the start of the season. Ricky Pearsall is the one that has the asterisk next to that name. Very possible he doesn't play at all this year. If the 49ers manage the injury properly, which they never do, by far the worst sports medicine program in the NFL. It's not close. The same person that is in charge of it has been there since 2017 and been promoted somehow. And the recurring injuries, the amount of recurring hamstrings, recurring calf strains can be avoided. And then you throw in the, you know, Ricky Pearsall PCL completely mismanaged. You got the Kittle. Oh, he had issues with his ankle and knee before he tore the Achilles. Just horrible. No clue how this person still has a job. No clue how this person still, and we're not that podcast. No clue how that person still has a job. No clue how that person still has a job. Like, we're not those guys. This is absolutely insanity, man. Yeah, I would be upset with the new practice facility. I'm not big into the substation theory, but yeah, it's just, it sucks, man. And whenever you've been this bad through the course of 10 years, you've had one healthy season and 10 seasons. Yeah, change some things, man. Leggett is starting for Xavier Leggett, who I liked a lot, went right after Ricky Pearsall. They've had very similar careers. Nobody has really stood out. I would argue Ricky Pearsall's probably been better whenever he's out there, but he's never out there. Leggett's starter for them. Like, it would be hard to trade for that player. I would like him. I doubt that the Panthers would want to give up on him now that Chris Brazel's done for the year. And there we go, Dustin Perry. There's the name. I wasn't going to say it. You said it. No clue, man. What would you say you do here? What's up, Jax? Appreciate you, Dave. You guys are awesome, man. So awesome being with everybody. What's up, Gnome? All the way from across international. That's what I'm talking about, man. Appreciate you, man. He's going to be flying over with my son to come party in L.A. Ooh. We are planning to be at the L.A. game. We're going to be throwing a huge tailgate. It's not finalized yet. The move's kicking my butt, man. If I'm just going to be real honest with you, Chapman down. Yeah, going from a four-bedroom and, you know, all this stuff to this tiny two-bedroom apartment. The wife is pissed. We're stressed, all those things. But, yeah, Chapman down. But that's okay. We're doing what we can. And so, yeah, I'm just behind in everything trying to get this move done. And anyway, almost in the rearview mirror. Jax, would you go after Debo now? I more so than I would have. I don't really want Debo in this locker room, if I want to be very honest with you. I am not the biggest Debo guy. I appreciate everything that he has done. He forced his way off this team. He held out and did all that stuff, coached Ayuk to do all of his stuff. I personally don't want Debo around, to be honest with you. And I don't trust Kyle Shanahan not force-feeding Debo, not beating man coverage whenever he's in the twilight of his career. If Debo's going to come in for under $5 million incentive-based contract, he's going to be the starting kick returner, punt returner, and understand he is not a starting wide receiver on this team. And Kyle Shanahan can agree, we're not going to force-feed him passes against man coverage whenever that's just never should have ever happened ever in the history of the 49ers, then yeah, I'm more into it. But the Kyle issue, Debo's got to understand you're coming in as a backup specialty role and it's got to be cheap as hell. Yeah, I'd be interested in it. To be honest with you, I'd rather have Tyler Lockett. I don't know if he's coming back. I want separators. I want separators. Debo has never been that. Yes, he is a spark plug and a playmaker, X factor, all those things. And I'm cool with Debo coming in, but it's got to be on very, very cautious terms. Okay, so cheap contract. You're not a starter. Kyle, you can't force feed him. All these different things. Ugh, that's where that is. What's up, Ben? Shout out to Ben, Josh, and Zach, executive producers of this show. Let's get to some transactions. Romello Hite gets cramps, gets carted off. And it took the 49ers 24 hours to say, wow, if that happens, we are screwed. I've been saying this all offseason. Like, you have no backup pass rush speed guy. You don't have it on the roster. So they go out and they sign Quentin Bell, former seventh rounder. He's got one sack in six seasons. He did win a Super Bowl with Tampa, but back into the roster guy. You signed KJ Henry. He was a fourth rounder. He's got 2.5 sacks in 3 seasons. Much more promising, but only played in 1 game last year. These are back into the roster guys. This is what you get at this part of the season. But now the 49ers at least have guys that can practice at that position that are speed, smaller options off the edge. Don't expect either one of these guys to contribute, but you have somebody that can play that role. You give your defensive coordinator, Raheem Morris, some options for pass rush specialists outside of just the draft pick, Melo Hyde. You bring in not one, but 2 tight ends, Josiah DeGuara, smaller receiving option, 6'2", 240, almost fullback size, but he could be the receiving type guy. And then you brought in Tanner McLaughlin earlier, and he's the bigger blocker type. So 2 positions that you don't have depth at. 2 more DNs, 2 more tight ends. I've been screaming tight end. And I'm thankful that they finally are addressing it. I don't expect any of these players to contribute. But you start rotating the back end of the roster and see if something catches. At least they could come in and special teams, know the system. You could plug them in, worst case scenario, all those different things. Captain Romello cramped so hard he came back with a new number. Raj from RSF Niners posted a clip of him, and I was like, to be fair, number 94 got carted off with cramps. Number 58, he's an all pro in the making. Cramped so hard, came back with a new number. I love that. That is awesome. I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love. And that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is, it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of steak. You get 4 filet mignon burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, 4 ribeye burgers, 4 brisket burgers, 4 sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's 3 easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer, you're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need, they have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. That's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. All right, let's get into our countdown. We got 5 players we're going to detail today, 3 of which are injured and not practicing. Started with number 18. Man, I think we missed this one. We did this ranking most important 49ers for this season alone, 1 through 91. All four of us ranked them. Zach, Ben, Josh, myself. Malik Mustafa came in number 18. And we did this right after the draft. Way before OTAs, way before training camp, way before all those things. Way before they even signed Ashton Davis. Maybe our biggest miss so far. If I had to redo it, I think Malik's going to be down in the 30s, 40s. He's not even getting starter snaps and back-to-back off seasons with a hamstring issue. That's going to make him miss time. Marquise Siegel's getting reps over him, which I'm not necessarily against. But we've seen how good Malik can be. He was number 17 on the list last year, 34 on the list in 2024. Wears jersey number 6, 5'10", 209, one of the buffest dudes, you know, workout warrior, awesome mentality, just very inconsistent play. Went to college at Richmond, transferred to Wake Forest. He's 23 years old. He was born and raised in Charlotte, North Carolina, Abdul Malik Mustafa. He began at Audrey Key High School, then transferred to Weddington High School to elevate the competition level. He was the 2019 Charlotte Defensive Back of the Year, first team All-State, All-Conference, you name it. He was on Bruce Feldman's athletic list. Like, you see this dude, it's just like, what the hell? Looks like Mr. Universe. I mean, no body fat on his body. Grew up with Will Shipley. They were Pop Warner teammates. How cool is that? Led his high school to a perfect 16-0 state title in 2019. Ran an 11.5 in the 100. Jumped 21.11 in the long jump. Team captain for Wake Forest, despite transferring. He was awesome. And he's admitted, big-time Hufanga fan, loved the 49ers growing up, played with them all the time in Madden, and his favorite player was Frank Gore. He goes to the Combine, gets one interview, Malik Mustafa. Guess who was with the 49ers? And guess who's in the interview? Frank freaking Gore. The Inconvenient Truth, baby. So much cool stuff that is there. Impressed the leadership so much, John Lynch admitted his favorite interview at the Combine was Malik Mustafa. Just awesome. Gets drafted in the fourth round, pick 124. Right after Malik Mustafa, Bucky Irving, Ray Davis. I was really high on Ray Davis. Bucky Irving, not near as high, but he's been awesome. And he's the fifth best return so far of the fifth round that draft. It was a bad round. So you've got your value thus far. You're hoping Malik can take steps forward. Injuries. Retore his ACL, hamstring, now re-injures the hamstring. Just rough, dude. Just rough. In two seasons, he's played 1,500 snaps, 92 special team. Good, and that's what he might be. Malik Mustafa might just be a stud special teamer and backup safety moving forward. If Marquis Siegel can seize this job, that just come in on dime packages, maybe, but probably not because he's not great in coverage. The problem with Malik Mustafa's inconsistencies in coverage and tackling. His hits are awesome. He'll come up and lay the wood, just doesn't wrap up consistently. At worst, special teams depth piece for a fifth rounder. That's not terrible. We thought we were getting another fifth round all-star after his rookie year, but he's just getting buried on the depth chart. That's where he is. He started 13 games last year. But, like, you look at his numbers, 62 overall grade, 61 against the run, 59 against the pass. It's hard to find what he's great at consistently. It's just not there. Through 2 years, he's made $2.3 million. You love to see that. He's got to stay healthy. And not getting snaps, he's going to be even further down the depth chart. That's Malik Mustafa coming in number 18. Kimbrough, my man, thank you for the super chat. You are beyond generous. If you guys aren't on the Zoom hangout, I highly recommend it. So much fun. It's great connecting with the faithful. Number one way to support the podcast, the number one way is to sign up on our Patreon channel. It's in the link in the description of this video or the 49ersrush.com. We post bets of the week all season long. We're going to be posting our season-long bets not too long. So if you're a person that wants to get into sports betting, we got you covered. We tell you what to bet, how much to bet, how much it pays out, all those things. We have posted profits in 7 out of 8 years. We've done well. We are Tony Gwynn bettors. We go for base hits. I don't do a lot of the parlays and home runs. It's not what we do. I don't want to lose people money. And never bet with what you can't lose, but we do Zoom hangouts monthly. Every single offensive, defensive, special play, special teams play broken down from preseason, the entire season, every single play. And so Yeah, you ain't got to subscribe to other things. You just subscribe to us. We have tiers at $2, $8, $20, and it keeps going up if you really want to support us. So if you want to join us, the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon page, whichever one you prefer, go sign up, support us. Thank you so much, Kimbro. That is how I pay the bills. That is how I feed the family. We work very, very hard. For every video we do on here, we do about 2 to 3 over there behind the paywall. And hey, if you don't have the expendable income, that's okay. We're not going anywhere. We're going to keep having free shows over here. This is episode 1680. We've got over 2,000 videos behind the paywall. So like whatever you can help with, we appreciate it. We really do. And if you want to sponsor the show as the new season goes, you want your company to be, you know, synced up with this podcast, have thousands of people hear about your company in an organic way from somebody hopefully they trust. If they can, if they're watching this, they probably trust us. But yeah, just email me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. We can work out something. We have cost-friendly options down from a couple $100s to, man, big time. You want your name behind me every episode and logo and all those things. We can customize that to make you fit exactly what you want. So if you want to sponsor with us and we can help promote your business and whatever you got out there, just reach out to us, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. Now let's get to number 17. Another defensive back that is playing, that was getting a lot of scrutiny all offseason. Dude, he has launched up 3 consecutive positive practices, so much so now he's behind the podium and talking at press conference. Renardo Green comes in number 17. He was number 10 last year. We thought he was going to take off and become a stud. It didn't happen last year, but he's played a lot of football. He was number 26 his rookie year. He has fallen, but so much of that being top 10 last year wasn't so much about Renardo Green. It's about the roster. There was a drop at 7. You had 7 studs last year, and from like 8 to 20, giant gap. This year, not so much. So Renardo Green dropping from 10 to 17, not so much against Renardo. It's because you added guys like Osa Digizua. You added guys like Mike Evans. You added guys like Drake Greenlaw. Like, you added so many top-tier players that are free agents. It just kept sliding down, sliding down, sliding down, sliding down. And to be honest, Renardo Green did have some lapses. Football IQ is probably his biggest weakness. But, man, I loved, talked about this yesterday with Larry, I loved Renardo Green's press conference. I hate most player press conferences. You don't get much because the questions aren't great and the players are just trying not to mess up. Renardo Green's attitude came across very clear. I'm here to compete. I want to fight with my brothers. I'm all in. I ain't scared of anybody. I want to fight. And it was awesome. And it was just like, all right, like, this is, yeah, Renardo Green's not big. He's 6'186", but his stature is small. Like, he doesn't have a wide frame. He's a cornerback. But man, feisty, and the attitude matches. You love it. Where's jersey number 0? 6'186". He's 25 years old, as old as some of the rookies for the 49ers. Played at Florida State, the Seminoles. Florida kid through and through. Went to Wekiva High School in Apopka. I hope I said that right, Florida. He was a quarterback as a freshman before he transitioned to cornerback. 4 interceptions, 23 pass breakups as a senior. Ball skills are good. You would like a little bit more in that category. He was a 3-star recruit, went to Florida State, played with Ted and Bethune. They were, you know, close friends, lived in the same apartment complex, all that different stuff. He was a true press corner at Florida State. And he just talked about that yesterday, where in college, man, you just line up and play man wherever he goes, you go. Transitioning to the zone mindset and all those things just gets difficult. Yeah, now you've got to read 2-to-1. You've got to understand splits. You've got to understand down distance. That's where he has struggled. He gets drafted in the end of the second round. He was the last player drafted in the second round, 2024 draft. I was a little shocked. I had a 3rd-round grade on him. He went a little bit earlier. I was the biggest Andrew Phillips. He was my shadow pick of who I would have taken. He went 5 picks later. They've had very similar careers. Drew's been a little bit better, but like, Renardo Green has lived up to the billing for the 64th overall pick. He started 21 games in 2 years, played in 31 games. Just got to fix those kind of knucklehead plays. And the thing that makes Renardo Green special, 23 pass breakups in 21 starts. dude's got a pass breakup per game. That is awesome. Now, only one interception. You'd like to convert some of those to turnovers. 121 tackles. Yeah, he got benched. Kyle yelled at him on the sidelines a couple times. Jumping out routes on third and 16. Can't do that. Back-to-back games. Can't do that. Cover three, cover six. Can't get beat deep. There's some lapses. Now, Raheem Morris, he has not had a season with a quality defensive back-minded defensive coordinator and Jerry Gray back there. I expect his play to uptick. I really do. And the competition of Jack Jones, Nate Hobbs, Ephesian Prysock, all those guys, dude, Renardo Green is about it. He ain't scared of the competition. Just got to get smarter, understand situational awareness. Did have a neck injury last year, missed a couple games, had an ankle and a hamstring issues, lingering, you know, nothing too lingering, but just kind of troublesome. But man, this guy started 14 games, played almost 1,000 snaps. He's a good tackler, needs to be a little bit more imposing in the run game. He's got kind of this wait and just let the run game come to me type thing. Needs to get a little bit more aggressive and force a little bit better as the force edge guy, as the corner, outside corner. But he cut his missed tackles from eight. He had eight missed tackles his rookie year, Renardo Green. Cut it to four last year. You like that. The tackling's good. Just need to come up and support a little better, closer to the line of scrimmage and press the issue a little bit more. But Renardo Green comes in number 17. You love the way training camp's going for almost all the defensive backs that aren't injured. I'm pretty pumped about Agent Zero. I was not one of the guys that wanted him to get traded. The football IQ, I struggle with. I probably penalize him much more for that than most people. The coach in me just, you know, I just go straight to the Singletary clip. Can't do it. Can't win with him. Won't do it. Like, you got to be smart. I struggle with dumb players. And I don't think Renardo Green's dumb. But there's ways to behave on third and 16. There's ways to behave in the final 30 seconds of a half that you just got to be smarter about. And maybe he got those lessons. Maybe he got those lessons. Let's get to the chat. Sorry, I'm not trying to neglect you guys. You guys are incredible. Agency just arrived. Couldn't be more happy that we're only 6 weeks away from the opening game. Ooh. Ooh. Man, pads tomorrow? Yeah, no, I have to miss the first day in pads. I had to schedule the movers and the move-in date before they announced all the training camp dates. I was gambling, and I gambled wrong. Put it all up black. Came up green. Hit that double zero. That ain't cool. Yeah, right here, Maria. He did so good in press. That's what he does. Great mentality. He's great at man. Psyched for him. The future's bright for Renardo, and he's young. He's young. Going into his third season? Oh, what's up, Khalil? Khalil, appreciate you, man. Nobody, and I mean nobody, throws a 49ers party like Mr. Chapman. My man, thank you. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Come party with us, man. Thank you. That means the world to me. Love Green's confidence. Yeah, it's just got to be consistent. Dude, right back at you, John. You are the best, man. Agency, going to my first Rush Road Trip this year in Atlanta. Dude, I can't wait. I got family in Atlanta. One, that stadium's badass. Our tailgate spot is literally a block and a half from the stadium. Oh, the best tailgate spot that you can get in Atlanta. We're going to be at the Battery the day before. Dude, growing up, I don't think I've talked about this a few times on the show. My dad lived in Atlanta. So I've all my father's side, extended family, cousins, you know, they all live around Atlanta. And I've been to hundreds of Braves games. Like, the Braves are my favorite baseball team. My dad, you know, way back to Sid Bream, Ron Gant, obviously the pitchers, Greg Maddux, my favorite ever. Braves, bro. Just Braves. So whenever we knew the Atlanta game was going to be on the road, I called the Battery right away. And I was like, dude, we're getting this secured. Shout out to my buddy Scott. He's secured it. He's the best, man. The best partner ever. Our parties, I don't care. The Battery is a little bit outside of Atlanta. This was for me, man. So come party with us. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Come on, man. You guys, Atlanta's going to be a good time. Maria, JC, by far the best Niner podcast. I appreciate the kind words. You engage with the chat, care about sharing ideas, unlike many others that wait till the end of the show to read if people pay class act. Oh, that's very kind of you. Look at that. I did say it. Shout out to Ben. You did say, I don't want to say it again. Apopka, right? I did say it right. The Florida names, they get me. I appreciate that. What's up, Geronimo? Coming in on Twitch. We don't get a lot of Twitch subscribers and watchers. We appreciate you, man. What's up, Tommy? Glad you're here. Notorious. Glad you guys are here. Dan, if Renardo refuses to give up the cornerback two spot, then what happens with the two veteran cornerbacks that we brought in? Isn't one of them due like $3 million? Yeah, you have the depth. You can run some three-corner sets, which Raheem Moore has done. Your dime package, you could bring that in. You can have a big nickel, which Raheem Morris has done that. Nate Hobbs could play that role. Or you just have depth. You put those guys on special team. And, man, $3 million for a backup corner, veteran corner, isn't a bad thing. So I remember the Brian Allen days. I remember not having the depth there. Having the depth is one of the biggest differences between 2025 49ers, 2026 49ers. You've got depth at a lot of key positions. You don't at safety, you don't at running back, and you don't at tight end. Everywhere else, you kind of have a lot of veteran depth. So having that depth at corner, you haven't had an injury there yet. It's nice just to know, like, hey, if something does happen, which, let's be honest, let's anticipate more injuries. That's going to help us. You have the depth there. So I think that that's important. I think that's where it is. Now, man, we're staying with the defensive back room. Another healthy player, number 16. I love this guy. I am concerned. His role in this Raheem Morris defense isn't going to be what I want it to be, but by far one of my favorite players. Number 16, Upton Stout. Shout out to the Wayne Breezy. He was so high on Upton Stout. I was not. His college tape, I just thought, man, a little bit too small. Dude, didn't play that way. Didn't play that way in college tape, but I wasn't sure it'd hold up. He's been awesome. 5'8", 181. Mighty Mouse, the stud, man. I love Upton Stout. He was 23 last year. He's jumped up 16. Like, he has climbed. He just got to get on the field more. It's not his fault. The 49ers sub-package so much that he only gets 15 to 20 snaps a game in the nickel package. Stay in the damn nickel. I don't care. I want Upton Stout on the field. He's by far one of the best players. Oh, he's only 24 years old. He was at North Texas, then transferred to Western Kentucky. The Hilltoppers. Texas kid, born and raised in Houston. Went to North Shore High School. I hate North Shore High School. By far one of the best programs in the country, the Mustangs. Duncanville, where I coached, and North Shore, they have played in 6 of the last 8 Texas championship games, which is just unprecedented. North Shore has their number. North Shore's 1-4. Duncanville's 1-2. So I'm pissed about that. I'm a Duncanville guy. That's where I got my coaching career started. And so, but North Shore's badass. Like it's, let's just understand. It is top 5 program in the country, and it ain't 5. It probably ain't 4. It probably top 3. They're incredible. Anyway, that's where Upton Stout is coming from. 3-star recruit, but was so small, he didn't get a lot of those big-tier schools. You know, go to North Texas, then he transferred to Western Kentucky, was a team captain at Western Kentucky. Has his own clothing line. Love to see that. Lazy Ways with Z's, LazyWayz, Lazy Ways, one word. I think that's pretty cool. He was drafted by the Niners with a very clear vision. You're going to play nickel, and you're going to play nickel only. Came in incredible as a rookie and just, man, just rocketing straight up. Just upward trajectory with not very many bumps in the road. Started off like, okay, you could see it. Had some issues. Teams were picking on him early. Teams started throwing away from him late. And just high-impact plays that matter on third downs, fourth quarter. It just shows up, man. Just nasty. Small as hell. Again, 5'8", 181, but doesn't play like it. Drafted in the third round, pick 100th overall. A lot of talented guys went after him. You go back to the 2025 draft. That was the strength, the third and fourth round. Chimera Dike for Tennessee was an all-pro returner as a rookie. Cam Scadabo, Craig Woodson, that would have been my pick. He was a rush crush guy. Danny Stutzman, like all those guys went in like six picks. Now, Upton Stout is up there with all of them. I have no qualms whatsoever with that pick. But, man, it's fun. You know, a lot of times whenever you're looking back, and it's only been a year, right? But whenever we go through the, you know, roster countdown, and I look at the draft where they were picked, and I look at the guys above and below them, it's like, all right, like Malik Mustafa, you look around and you're like, dude, yeah, he's one of the better players in that round. You look at Upton Stout, and it's like, oh, damn, dude, there's a lot of really good players that went in that area. And so it is fun looking back, hindsight's 2020 always. I would have took Craig Woodson. I was the biggest Craig Woodson fan. Dude started day one for the Patriots all the way to the Super Bowl. He's a freaking stud Cal guy. It was so weird to me. I was like, dude, why is nobody talking about Craig Woodson? I felt very similar to Craig Woodson and Deshaun Stribling. Like where I was like, dude, I'm two rounds higher than everybody else. Am I high enough? Should I be higher on these guys? You know, we only pick 10 to 13 players a year that are rush crush. Upton went one of them. But if you told me right now, knowing what we know now, 49ers taking Upton Stout over Craig Woodson, I'd be like, okay, I get it. I get it. Upton could be a home run pick. Very easily could become the best nickel in the NFL. That is the trajectory that he is on. Will Raheem Morris use the nickel more? He doesn't use it a lot. He really doesn't. And that is my biggest concern with Upton. Has nothing to do with Upton. It's just like, dude, stay in freaking nickel. Keep this dude out there. The five defensive line fronts and the 4-3 over-under where you roll over the linebacker. I'm like, well, if you do that, there's no nickel. If you do big nickel, your regular nickel, like Upton Stout needs to be on the damn field. I want this dude playing 35, 40 snaps a game. Figure it out. I want the best 11 out there. Don't let the sub packages, don't overthink it. Put your studs out there. He's a stud. He is a stud. He is a stud. 82 tackles last year, four tackle for loss, one sack, one forced fumble, five pass breakups, and he could blitz, man. Now, he does his biggest problem. He could tackle big running backs, tight ends, wide receivers with these. Probably the biggest red flag I had with Upton Stout last year is quarterbacks got away from him a lot. I remember that Saints game. He just could not bring down. What was that quarterback's name? Anyway, it wasn't Shug. It was the other quarterback, Spencer Rattler. He couldn't bring him down. Several times quarterbacks made him whiff, but he's so good in the run fit, man. Oh, you just see it. So good at the line of scrimmage. I love that dude, man. 72.2 pass rush grade. Blitz this dude. Shark blitz, baby. K-1 2.0. Love K-1. Missed week 7 with an ankle, had a concussion in week 18. None of those long-term issues. He's just been awesome. I love Upton Stout. I love Upton Stout. I don't know anybody that doesn't love Upton Stout. He's freaking awesome, man. I freaking love it, dude. Oh, what's up? Look at this. Martin, he says, I'm in Virginia, live in Florida. I'm going to Atlanta. Yes. What's up, David Waldner? My man. Speaking of Duncanville, he's not there anymore. He's retired. Shout out to David Waldner, retired teacher. I would call him my mentor, but he's not smart enough for that. He is a Cowboys fan, but he is retired now. Shout out to you and the wife, man. Appreciate you, man. Hope everything's all right. Stout, yeah, he flew up this year. Look at this crazy juice. Up to the Chihuahua Stout. I love it. Cowboys actually have a really good roster. They do not rule. Upton's got that mustard. Whatever that is. I'm not a mustard guy. I'm a ketchup guy. I'm a spicy ketchup guy. I buy my ketchup from Texas. I get Whataburger spicy ketchup shipped to me in California. That is how Texas I am. probably should have admitted that. Niners, Zeno, what's up, man? He says, were you a fan of Jeff Garcia? Is he a top 5 San Francisco quarterback? Ooh, love the super chat. Little off topic, but that's okay. I don't think I do. There will always be a place in my heart for guys that leave it all on the field. Like, I'm not a Baker Mayfield fan because he went to OU and how crass he was early on in his career. I love Baker Mayfield now. I really, really do. And probably one of my favorite things was watching the Netflix series Quarterback. He was the star of this season. I love guys that play that way. that just leave it all out there. And, you know, I see Jeff Garcia as Rocky. I really, really do. This undersized, just tough as hell, makes no sense. The unorthodox way he came to the NFL. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, part of the reason why I'm not the biggest T.O. guy, obviously Terrell Owens is a top three wide receiver all time. Incredible, incredible. But, like, I struggle with guys that force themselves off the team. Terrell Owens did that in large part because of Jeff Garcia, right? Like, he wanted to be a part of this prototypical quarterback and boost his numbers. Like, that affects me. I'm like, all right, you want out, get your shit and go. I feel the same way with Debo. Like, you want it out, bro. Peace. You out. That is a flaw in my character. I understand that. That is a defense mechanism that Chapman has built on a life of a lot of family trauma, to put it lightly. And so, like, that's just who I am. That's who I is, the Popeye, right? Like, I am what I am. I love Jeff Garcia. Is he a top five quarterback? Probably not. He's right on that cusp, right? Joe Montana, Steve Young, easy. Brock Purdy's three now. Kaepernick was the best quarterback in the NFL for a very short glimpse. Kaepernick brought back, you know, from the stupid Dennis Erickson and terrible Nolan and, like, just being horrible forever. Kaepernick was the guy that was just like, dude, Niners are back, baby. And then as soon as it disappeared. I'm going to put Kaepernick there. I would put Jeff Garcia ahead of, this might rub some people the wrong way, handsome number 10, Jimmy Garoppolo. So, yeah, I guess he would be a top five for me. Now, go old hats, and you talk John Brody, you talk Y.A. Tittle, you go through those guys. I don't know how to replicate that conversation with whenever I've been around. It's a completely different time. Brody was amazing. His MVP season was not with the 49ers. Am I mixing up my Tittle? I want to make sure I get that correct. John Brody, you know, you look, yeah, I was wrong. I'm putting John Brody ahead of all those guys. So let me revise my order. John Brody played 17 years with the Niners. A lot of those were really, really bad years. He had a losing record as a quarterback. He threw more interceptions than touchdowns. It's a different game. I'm going Joe. I'm going Steve. I'm going Brock. I'm going John. And then I'm going Cap. Then I'm going, I know I just piss people off. And having said that, this is a short glimpse off the cuff. I am up for healthy debate. These are not in pen or Sharpie. These are in pencil and erased several times, and I'm comfortable moving around. John Brody played 17 years with the 49ers. Y.A. Tittle was the one that became MVP after he left the 49ers. I'm not putting Y.A. Tittle up there. I'm not putting Jimmy Garoppolo in there. So, yeah, I'm going Joe, Steve, Brock. His story is incredible, and I think he's going to be with the Niners for a long time. If you want to move guys ahead of him because he's only been the quarterback for, you know, 4 years now, totally get that. Joe, Steve, Brock, then I'm going Brody, then I'm going Cap, then I'm going Garcia. That's my six. Oh, I hate that. Somebody's got to be out. Are you kicking out Brody? Are you kicking out? A lot of people just Cap. They have bad taste in their mouth with what happened there, but not me. I freaking adore that man. Now, is he perfect? God, no. Do I agree with everything he did? No. But, dude, I love political stand up for what you want. Even though, I like Kaepernick more because he lost his career and stood on his beliefs. Even if I disagreed with those beliefs, I'd be cool with that. Political discourse and protesting, I don't even give a damn what it is. I'll show up to any protest that's peaceful anytime ever. I'm all for it, baby. Anyway, that's just because I taught history and I think the First Amendment matters. But anyway, great question, Zeno. Let's get to right here. Been some metal. Thanks for the super chat. Dalton Kincaid avoided surgery. He had a full tear. He dealt with it since November 24th, re-injured it in the 25 training camp. It's still all speculation. Yeah, and I'm not one of the ones with Ricky Pearsall saying that just have the surgery now. I would wait a couple weeks, see what happens when the swelling goes down, reassess, and then decide at that point. Like, give it another go, because that several month timeline, if you have the surgery, would shut down his season now. But you've got time to where he give him 3 to 4 weeks, get back out there, and if it happens again, then shut him down. That's what I think. But again, I've seen nothing. I'm not a medical expert. Just going off timelines, and speculation is there. But I can tell you, should have had this now, hindsight, right? Should have had the surgery last year at week 4. This was a September injury last year. Oh, man. Yeah, it's... Oof. No, don't apologize to David. David Wallner deserves all the hate and criticism that you can give. Trust me, he can take it. Just don't block him. they stopped and said, you're back. You're all right. You're still here. You're all right. You deserve all the hate that you could get. Trust me, that's his love language. Me and David eat lunch together for years and just make fun of each other. It's like haters ball, man. He's a great guy. The dude, give him all the hate that you guys want, please. Tommy, appreciate you, man. Strength and conditioning staff, what would you say you do here? The amount of calf, hamstrings, and re-injuries, that is the problematic thing. The knee bone bruise, not an issue. The high ankle roll, not an issue. You don't put that on the strength and conditioning staff. Even if you want to talk about the rib injuries and Fred Warner punching the ball out, whatever else, that's more on the coaching staff. But like calf strains, hamstrings, re-injuries, that is all on the strength and conditioning staff. I am with you. Heads should be rolling, not promoting, not promoting, not promoting. Look at this big tone. Whataburger better be as good as everyone claims it is. You got to understand what it is. Whataburger is not the best. Whataburger is a place that is open 24 hours that everybody goes to after the bars, after college. It's a place you can go to at breakfast. It is a home. That's what it is. If you just put its burger up against whatever else, man, their specialty menu is special. Love me some Whataburger, man. Oh, so good. That spicy ketchup. Yes, 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 yes. You got to understand what it is. In Texas, they don't believe in healthy fast food. It is not healthy. It's not going to be healthy. So just understand what that is. Danny right here. Kaepernick looked really bad at the end of his career. He did. I would put Alex Smith before Kaepernick. Oh, God, no. Alex Smith did nothing for the Niners. He's not even – I'm putting Jimmy G ahead of him. I love Alex Smith as a player. He wasn't good until that one season. Then he got benched, and his best football was all outside of the 49ers. I love Alex Smith. He is one of the best humans to grace the planet ever. Like, he is just such a great dude. But whenever you look at – yeah, I understand all the different coaching staffs. Like, Alex Smith shouldn't have been the pick. And whenever he finally got salvageable, he left. And you look at his time with the 49ers, barely, you know, right at 500. They're part of some very, very bad teams. And I understand a lot of people have a very special place in their heart for Alex Smith. Football-wise, I don't know. His best season, 13 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions. I don't know, man. I don't see why. I get why people love him. There's not a lot of positive play in the 49ers uniform. Kansas City, he was awesome. His best 4 seasons were outside of San Francisco. That is a problem for me. That's not Alex Smith's fault. Like, he didn't want ask to be traded. He didn't ask to be benched from the concussion. He didn't ask any of those things. And yeah, like, dude, I don't know. Like, I don't think he got shafted. Kaepernick was better. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. The disagreement is, can you lose your job due to injury? Yeah. He didn't lose his job due to injury. He got injured. The backup quarterback came in and was way more explosive. And so, like, Tom Brady shouldn't be starting either. Like, he didn't lose his job because of injury. The injury gave opportunity to another player. Cap was better. Cap was like, I don't know. Like, and I don't dislike anybody. I love Alex Smith. I had Alex Smith jerseys. I had all the Alex Smith cards. I loved Alex Smith. I love Alex Smith still. Cap was better. Like, that was... you could argue top three greatest playoff performances by any position, any all time. What Colin Kaepernick did that playoffs against the Packers, dude, Michael Vick looks at that and is like, Dave, that's awesome. Like, yeah, it was incredible, man. And it should have been Aaron Rodgers. I'm not an Aaron Rodgers guy, but that's okay. Yeah, do with that what you will. Cap gave a spark. Smith wasn't giving us. I agree there. And dude, I remember how I remember. Okay, you go back to. I remember exactly where I was when they drafted Alex Smith in 2005. I had the Alex Smith jersey, yeah, and I love those jerseys with the gold outline. Those were badass, by the way. And I just remember us being terrible from then on. And then you get to the 2011 season, and it's like, all right, you go 13-3, and everything's awesome and all those things, and then the injuries and then the trade. Dude, there was a lot of bad Alex Smith time. I'm not putting that on him, but it's not like he was great and the team was bad. I mean, shoot, 16 touchdowns, 16 interceptions his second year. Like, it was like, all right, like, is this what we're doing? I don't know. So, and I'm not trying to convince anybody otherwise. Like, if you think Alex Smith is top three quarterback for the 49ers, dude, there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong. These dialogues, these questions, like, I love this debate. And it's off season. There's no practice today. This is time to do it, baby. This is the time to get that stuff done. Now we got two more players we got to get to. And we've already talked about 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. But if you're going to Australia, Mexico City, Atlanta, Dallas, Seattle, probably going to be down in Los Angeles for the Chargers game, just tailgate only. Come party with us.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, we got two players left on the countdown today. Number 15, number 14, both not practicing. The title of today's show, so many important 49ers not practicing. Number 15, by far one of my favorite players. He's on the PUP list. Both these players are. Alfred Collins, glimpses of greatness beyond inconsistent. You could see the pathway for big number 95 to be a dominant player. It's just not there. It's just not there yet. He's 24 years old, 6'6", 332. He's one of the biggest guys in the NFL. I mean, he is huge. Texas kid. I'm biased. Hook 'em horns, baby. I've watched this kid all the way since he was in high school at Cedar Creek High School in Texas. Was with the Longhorns, kind of waited his turn. His mom played basketball for Texas, three sisters, two of which are athletes. You know, he played football, basketball, shot disc. He was all these things. Defensive player of the year for District 13-5A. That's a big district. He won it twice. Like, this guy is a baller. Five-star player, fifth best ranked player coming out of high school in the state of Texas. He was awesome. Goes to Longhorns, waits his turn because, gosh, oh, I mean, he just played behind so many studs: Tavondre Sweat, Ojemo. Ojemo is going to be one of the highest paid free agents next year. You know, he's the next Philly guy that's going to be moved on, defensive tackle. You know, Murphy up in Seattle. Their defensive tackle rooms that they have put out are just bananas. He waited his turn. Didn't miss any time in college. I think he missed one game in 5 years. He's already missed, you know, back-to-back training camps. He had a calf issue throughout all of the draft process. And then he played through his injured shoulder for that Seattle playoff game, and they had surgery afterwards. And, you know, John Lynch talked about, we expect him back in that second installment. He's off on the side field looking good. I fully expect him to start practicing in the next week or two. So he's not going to miss game time as long as he doesn't re-injure it. Come on, strength and conditioning staff. It has a longer wingspan than LeBron James. This dude is a behemoth, rush crush guy. I was clamoring for the Niners to pick this guy. I predicted it. I betted on it. We hit it. If you joined us for the live show last year, before we even went live, me and Ant, day two last year, I said, I think the 49ers are going to draft Alfred Collins in the second round. They did. We hit this one. I think it was a good pick. I still look at it. And, you know, I went back and looked, you know, the 49ers picked Alfred Collins, second round, pick 43 overall. You go back and you look at, okay, who are the most impactful players around him that were drafted? Nick Skorton would be the guy, if you had to redraft, that you should have took. He just tore his ACL this week. Like, he was the guy in my notes when we put this together. Okay, if you're redrafting, who would you take after him? Nick Skorton was the guy that you should have took. Well, we put that in the notes. He tore his ACL since we put it in the notes. Does that change? I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, like, there are things that Alfred Collins does that normal human beings cannot do. Now, the negatives, he loses consistently early in the play. He is at his best where he relies on his raw strength, and he'll get pushed back. He'll stack and shed, which is his best technique, and then make a play. Best moments of the year, that forced fumble on the goal line, I'd probably argue is the number one play of the year for the 49ers. Maybe that Brock Purdy throw to Kyle Juszczyk where he's scrambling around, making everybody miss against the Bears. You put that up there, offense sells. But, like, you do not beat the Rams without Alfred Collins. And he was in on the fourth down stop in overtime to cement that win. So the forced fumble against Kyron Williams and fumble recovery on the goal line, the fourth down stop, man, one tackle for loss, four quarterback hits, one sack, two fumble recoveries, two forced fumbles. He's 17 combined tackles. He is a space eater. He makes life easier for the linebackers. Didn't play a lot with Fred Warner because of the injury. Did get a sack, Phillip Rivers. Did get the fumble recovery in Atlanta. By the way, all of his key plays, and this was in my draft write-up of Alfred Collins, happened in the fourth quarter. When it's the biggest moments in the game, Alfred Collins shows up. He did this his entire career at Texas. You wish he would be a little bit better in the first quarter and third quarter, but whenever it's fourth quarter and it's big boy time, Alfred Collins shines. His sacks, his fumble recoveries, the fourth down stops, like the biggest moments of the game, Alfred Collins shows up. I told y'all that. That happened his rookie year. Now, the shoulder surgery, he's on PUP. He's not out there practicing. He's got to improve in a lot of areas. He has a very easy pathway to starting next to Oso Odighizuwa. We'll see. Can he take those steps? Yeah. I know that the rumors of Vita Vea, I would trade Alfred Collins for Vita Vea. I love Alfred Collins. If you can get Vita Vea, Alfred Collins in a fourth round pick, I would do it. I really, really would. I am a huge Alfred Collins fan. Huge Alfred Collins fan. But he's got some growing to do. He really, really does. Right here. Notorious, another second-year player smashing their way up the list. Yes, Maria. Alfred Collins has so much potential. It's there. He's 24 years old, 6'6", 332. I mean, he's just a monster, man. He was improving. His play's getting better. We'll see. Ben, right here. John, we agreed 100% on AC. Yeah, every time me and Ben, you know, he helps with all the draft work and stuff. We were just back and forth. Like, how high are we on Alfred Collins? Are we too high? He was my highest-rated second-round player. I think it was like number 19 or 20 on my list. Yeah, him and Wes, excited about those guys. Look at this, Ben. I'm betting Collins comes off the PEP list tomorrow. That would be awesome. Phil, appreciate you, man. Where's Ant? Guys, I wanted to put this in there. Ant's got some family stuff going on. We love Ant. Keep him in your thoughts and prayers. I know he'd appreciate that. I don't want to put a lot out there, but we're thinking of praying Ant, and we miss him, and we'll be back to the coach approach later in the year for sure. But him and his family taking care of some stuff, and man, we love them, and we are just thinking of them. Right there. And then you add on this, Notorious, like how large he is getting into those throwing lanes. that is a big deal. And getting the passes defensed, I don't know. Ooh, we did not add this. Give me just a quick second. Alfred Collins, how many pass breakups did he have last year? I know he had a couple. Does it pull up? Yeah, he had two passes defensed. Did he get one in the playoffs? He did not. He had two passes defensed. You know, you get 4 or 5. That's kind of what you're looking for. Logan right here. This is why I'm always saying we shouldn't trade Alfred Collins for Vea, because he's already producing. Potential is huge. Potential is huge. He hadn't done it yet. But yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Ant, top lad. Dude's salt of the earth, man. Like, the coolest thing about this podcast, there's so many positives, and I'm so thankful. And the only reason why I get to do it is because of you guys. So thank you. Dude, I've just been able to cross paths with some of the coolest human beings in the world. And Ant is definitely one of those. And beyond thankful. So thank you guys. Oh, man, you guys are the best. Last one on our roster countdown today. Another player. Again, so many important 49ers not practicing. Mikael Williams comes in number 14. Last year he was 12. Falls a couple spots. The injury, I think he's going to be on the PUP to start the season. I fully expect him to miss the first month of the season. You have to miss 4 games if you're on the PUP, but that doesn't count against a roster spot. So the Niners will be able to keep an extra wide receiver or tight end or offensive lineman because of that. Wears jersey number 98, 6'5", 260. He's another big dude. Turns 22 in June. Like, just turned 22. The potential. Potential just means you ain't done it yet. The potential of Mikael Williams is through the roof. And, yeah, the pass rushing, not present in his 9 games before he tore his ACL. But, golly, dude was just a beast run stuffer from the jump. Mikael D'Anthony Williams from Georgia, Columbus, Georgia. Golly, like his mom, Shamika, was a 3-sport athlete, Fort Valley State University Hall of Fame. Mikael's the oldest of 5 siblings. He's got 4 younger sisters. Loves his older brother role. How cool is that? Maxwell Football National High School Player of the Year. Player of the Year. 5-star. Like, if there were 6 stars, he'd have 6 stars. He won the Richard Seymour Family Scholarship. 4th best recruit coming out of high school back in the 2022 class. Chose USC before flipped to Georgia. Kirby Smart, head coach, said, quote, his best trait is his work ethic. Clean on the field, clean off the field, all football, all the time. Won the national championship for Georgia. And you go back to the Big 12 championship. It, like, probably one of the coolest things. I broke this tape down. It's on the 49ersrush.com. We did the Georgia defensive tape, and we did the Texas defensive tape. You have Mikael Williams making a play in the 4th quarter to end a drive. Then you have Alfred Collins for Texas making a play in the 4th quarter to end a drive. Then you have Georgia making a play to end a drive. Then you have Alfred Collins all in the 4th quarter. It was just like, golly, these two behemoths just took over that damn game. Georgia eventually won. Mm-hmm. 2-time All-SEC player. He's drafted number 11 overall. Now, a lot of people didn't like that draft, and a lot of people were for the Shamar Stewart. Again, another player, tore his ACL. He's done. No, he's not done. They came back and said just hyperextended his knee. Going to miss time, but he'll be back this year, which is awesome for the Bengals. But you look at what Mikael Williams did in the 9 games before he tore his ACL. 20 combined tackles, 4 tackle for loss, 1 sack, 19 pressures. Yeah, 51.9 pass rush grade. That's not his game yet. It's not. 12 solo run stops. He was the number one for every single rookie drafted last year in his draft class for run stop rate at 11.1%. You look at the opposing team's run success rate against the Niners, 42% run success rate with Mikael Williams in, 53% with him out. This guy, his job was to stop the run. That's why he was brought in. Can he develop some of the pass rush skills? He's 22, just turned 22. He's 3 years younger than not one, not two, but 3 49ers rookies. This guy has the chance to be a 10-year 49ers player. Is he there? No. Is he an all-star? No. Is he a pro bowler? No. Can he stop the run and dominate the line of scrimmage? 100% yes. That is already there. Can things increase? We'll see. Tore his ACL at MetLife. Shocker. Place should be burned to the ground. The only stadium in the NFL that's worse than Levi's, in my opinion. I've been to 26. MetLife's 26. Levi's is 25th. Levi's sucks, man. The only thing that's good about Levi's, 49ers fans, and the grass, some of the best, you know, voted the best field turf to play on. Anyway, I really like Mikael Williams, and I think that, like, he is just one of those guys that had such a high floor. It's okay to hit doubles. There was no player there, and I want to go back to that draft class. Like, who would you have taken after Mikael Williams that was just Booker, no. Kenneth Grant, no. Tyler Warren, no. Jalen Walker, maybe. And a lot of people were like, dude, James Pierce led the NFL, you know, that draft class in sacks. Now he's got all the off-the-field stuff. We'll see what happens. But, like, Shamar Stewart was in the conversation. I just, man, I don't know. Derek Harmon was probably one of my guys. I was pretty high on him. I was high on Jahdae Barron. I was high on Gray Zabel. Walter Nolan had the injuries. I get that conversation. That was there too. Those were the conversation. Walter Nolan, Shamar Stewart was a no for me. Gray Zabel, Jahdae Barron, Derek Harmon. Those were the guys. Jahad Campbell. I love Jahad Campbell. I'm not leaning towards any of those over Mikael now with where we are. I don't think you missed. Did you hit a home run? We'll see. Yeah, Reese, right here. With Williams missing the first month, who do you think will start? Keon White will start. I think Nick Bosa and Keon White will be your starting edge players week one. I think that that's what you do. And then you rotate in Melo on pass rushing downs. And then you rotate in Sam O as your number three. And he gets those snaps. So, yeah, that's where we're at, man. And so, man, fun episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this. Yeah, and I predicted that pick as well. We made a lot of money on that one. And yeah, I'm fine with Mikael Williams. Like, that's sometimes what you got to do. They almost traded up for him. Thankfully, they didn't do that. They're not all home runs, guys. Tony Gwynn's in the Hall of Fame. You need contributors. You needed players after so many misses in that 2021 and 2022 draft and 2023 draft. You had to get contributors. 2024 and 2025 and 2026, stocked with contributors. Now you need some of those home runs. Maybe some of those guys like Upton Stout, Alfred Collins, Mikael Williams translate into that. They're not there now. It's only been 1 or 2 years for these guys. We'll see. Now, here's what's crazy. So, right here, I'm fine with you, Dave. He says, I'm fine with John Chapman. Thank you, man. Dave is the man. You stud. Shout out to Brandon, by the way. I'll say this. Here's what's crazy. Once I hit in stream, I have to tear down this whole studio packet and reset it up tomorrow when we move. So, like, this is the end of an era for Chapman. I don't get emotional about these things, but it's just like, huh. All right, this is the last time I want to record an episode. I don't know how many episodes I've recorded since I've been here, but, man, probably about 600-700. Right here, Niner Zeno. Uh-oh, he's trying to get me in trouble again. Thanks for the super chat. Off topic, the first 49ers Super Bowl I watched was versus the Ravens. I was heartbroken when they lost. What would Coach Chapman have done differently to win the game? You run the damn ball. You run the ball. You give the ball to Frank Gore. The fades to Crabtree. No, I'm not a Crabtree guy either, by the way. Shocker. I am not a Crabtree. I'm a Frank Gore guy. I'm a Frank Gore guy. First to go from the five. Run the damn ball. Run the damn ball. You run the ball. Anyway, first to go from the five. Anyway. Well, I'm sorry. That was the Seattle game. Yeah, the Ravens game. Cut the power earlier. That was such a one-sided game. And then the power cut and then everything else. Yeah, that game. So look at this, Reese. Good luck with the move, John. Lift your legs. It's funny. I rolled my ankle already this morning getting the patio furniture out. And so, like, yeah, the ankle is hurting right now already. And it's like, all right, 2 days straight of carrying boxes and whatever. We got movers coming, which will help, but you know, I'm just gonna watch them. I'm gonna move with them. But like, yeah, my ankle's hurting. Even podcasters get injured, buddy. Our coaches get injured, our players get injured, our pets' heads are falling off. Harry, I took care of it. Anyway, you guys are the best. Yeah, have Cap run the freaking ball. Yes, 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 yes. Run the freaking ball, man. It would have helped in every single Super Bowl the 49ers didn't win. Raheem Mostert not getting one carry in the first quarter of the Super Bowl after having one of the most legendary championship game performances the week before. What the hell, man? Ah. Anyway, guys, it has been an honor and a pleasure to record with you today. No show tomorrow. If I can swing it, maybe, but probably not with the move and all those things. But I'll be at camp Saturday, so we'll get a live report from camp whenever practice ends Saturday. So stay tuned for that. But, yeah, I'm going to end this stream, and I'm going to tear down all the lights and everything. It's what it is. Appreciate you guys. You are the absolute best. And until next time, new location. Stay strong, faithful.